When you hear Jesus' words and you do not use them, it's like counterfeit money. When it's put to the test, when pressure is applied, when it is closely reviewed and it's determined that it's a fake. In other words, what appeared real, what appeared solid and sturdy and stable, ultimately, there is no value. There is nothing of strength or truth behind it. Hey, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in today. John Putnam here for another episode of Change for Your Dollar, where we understand that God's too good and life's too special to let a little money hold you back. And I really appreciate you being with me today. And I have to tell you, I rarely look at any type of analytics or anything like that. It has been ages. But was looking at some the other day, and we were thinking about a few changes. And guys, I was blown away at the thousands and thousands of downloads of Change for Your Dollar. So thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for sharing this with your family and friends. And please let me encourage you to continue to do that. And if it feels like a 5-star rating is good for you, then it's good for me too. So that really helps the ministry outreach. Okay. Well, it's April, and April brings April Fool's Day. If you haven't listened to last week's, please take a listen. I would like to tell you that there were some really good April Fool's jokes on there, but they were some real bad April Fool's jokes on there. So, but they were worth a smile. But I'm talking about April Fools, and I'm talking about who we can learn about money from the fools in the Bible. And one of the most remembered examples in the Bible deals with what appears to be real, but it's not real at all. It's counterfeit. Now, when you think about counterfeits, most of us think about counterfeit money. Now, did you know that it's the Secret Service that oversees that area of investigation and protection in our country? Here's what it said on secretservice.gov. We are one of America's oldest federal law enforcement agencies, originally created in 1865 to stamp out rampant counterfeiting in order to stabilize America's young financial system. And guys, this next sentence blew me away. It said, by the end of the Civil War, nearly one third of all currency in circulation was counterfeit. As a result, the country's financial stability was in jeopardy. To address this concern, the Secret Service was established in 1865 as a bureau in the Treasury Department to suppress widespread counterfeiting. First, I knew that the Secret Service oversaw counterfeiting investigation and protection. But I had no idea until I went to their website that it was formed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865. Now, over the years, you can imagine, there is no way to be able to anticipate all the variations of counterfeit currency. So did you know that the Secret Service studies real currency to best be able to spot a counterfeit? I mean, think about that for a second. That's genius. If you can identify the real thing, if you can identify the true currency, then you know that any currency that you are holding in your hand that doesn't look like the real thing, it must be a fake. Now, what I'm getting ready to say, you may say, Putnam, well, duh. But here's something interesting about counterfeits. The very best counterfeits look the most like the real thing. And for that reason, they can be incredibly difficult to spot. And in Scripture, what I'm going to talk about today and what I'm getting ready to share from Matthew 7, we find a unique comparison when it talks about a certain type of counterfeit. What is real, solid, and secure versus what is fake and shifting and unstable. And this scripture, it talks about stone. What looks like stone? What is stone? What appears to be stone? Or in other words, it's about rocks. Firm, solid rock that we would call bedrock, and little, itty, bitty rocks that we would call sand. So let's read about what Jesus thinks of a foolish man who would choose to build in the wrong place. And after the scripture, I want to talk a little bit about why in the world would you do it? And the answer is a whole lot more surprising than you think. Okay, Matthew 7, 24 to 27, about building your house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay, immediately you think, why in the world would someone choose to build on sand rather than rock? It just seems so obvious. I mean, if you looked at rock and you looked at sand and you said, I'm going to build a house, would you ever choose the sand? Of course not. Well, maybe. See, that's given my perspective of rock and sand. I shared a couple of weeks ago that I'm a beach guy. Some people are mountain people. I'm a beach people. And when I think of sand, I think of the beach. That fluffy sand that you find on a beach compared to a stone or a hard piece of rock or granite. And then years ago, my pastor came back from a mission trip and was preaching about this exact verse. And what he shared, I never forgot. In the area of the world where this parable, where this comparison took place, it was a very hot and arid climate. And in those hot and arid times, where there was sand, the sand would get as hard as concrete, almost as hard as a rock. So you can imagine if you were going to build a house and you had to dig through that incredibly difficult layer of sand to get to the rock, how hard it would be, how difficult it would be, how much time it would take, the energy it would take. You get the point. It would just be easier, instead of digging down to the rock to lock in your foundation, it would just be easier just to put your foundation on top of the sand, because what? It was hard like rock. But unlike rock, when the rain fell onto that compacted, hard sand, it loosened it up. And as it loosened it up, it became unstable and soft again. So now this firm foundation that they were counting on, they took a shortcut and they built this house on sand. Now, all of a sudden, like scripture said, the rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. So let's think about this and take a moment to consider it in financial terms. Now, we know there are financial biblical truths that if we stick to them, then we can be assured we are building on rock. Basics like spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, keep some emergency cash on hand, and set long-term goals. If you consider those four basic opportunities and you do them well, you can be reasonably assured that whatever storm is going to come, you have positioned yourself, you have built on rock and put yourself in the best possible position to survive a storm. But on the other hand, if you spent more than you earned, if you used debt for your lifestyle, if you kept no reserves on hand for backup or emergencies, and you chose to not set any goals, but just make your financial choices on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis, and a financial storm came and the rain fell, it would be very unlikely that your financial house would withstand that kind of storm. Proverbs 1:7 shares that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is not fear like I'm afraid of God. It's fear like honor and respect and reverence to the one who is above us all and to his truth, like the truth we find in Matthew 7:24-27. When you hear Jesus' words and you do not use them, it's like counterfeit money. When it's put to the test, when pressure is applied, when it is closely reviewed and it's determined that it's a fake. In other words, what appeared real, what appeared solid and sturdy and stable, ultimately, there is no value. There is nothing of strength or truth behind it. But when you hear Jesus' words and you put them to use, like the genuine, authentic currency that has value from the full faith and power of the federal government that says it's worth what it's worth, Jesus' words bear the full authority and power and truth of the one true God. Jesus' words are Jesus, their life, their truth, their power. So when you hear his words and you put them into use, you are building on rock. You're building on the real thing, and you're giving yourself the best chance to build a financial house that will stand not only in good weather, but in any financial storm. So let me leave you with a question today. When you think about your current financial position, your budget, your financial habits right now, is there one area or are there multiple areas where you can affirm that you are using biblical wisdom and truth and building on rock so it will stand the test? Or also, is there other areas or multiple areas where you believe that you may be trusting something else, something that is promising value to you, and you are ultimately feel like you may be building on financial sand that ultimately will fail the test? Take some time in prayer today. Make a list of where you feel you're building on rock and where you feel you're building on sand, and make the necessary changes needed and move from the sand to the rock that is Jesus. Guys, as always, I really appreciate you joining me today. And thank you again for the wonderful podcast ratings and the downloads. And ask you to please continue sharing this with family and friends and coworkers and introducing them to Change for Your Dollar. And I spoke today on how our foolish choices can create financial uncertainty around us, but there is also so much financial uncertainty that can come at us, that can come to us. And in times like we are in right now, with interest rates, banking concerns, challenges of inflation, recession on the horizon, let me remind you about the mini course that I created just for you called Get Recession Ready, and it has a PDF downloadable workbook that you can work along with it. It's only 30 minutes long. Four simple steps to get recession ready. And whether a recession comes or not, it will give you the tools you need to put yourself in a strong position in any season or storm of financial uncertainty. Thank you again for joining me this week, and I'll look forward to next time.